We've spoken a lot about the statement of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that if a person acquires a kli from a non-Jew, he has to be tovel it. But the truth is there really are two parts to that statement. The first part of the statement is that the person has to acquire the kli. And we discussed at great length what kind of a connection does the Yisrael have to establish with that kli to be mechayev and tevila. Clearly, if he acquires the kli with a mechira or with a matana, if he's given a gift or if he buys the kli from the non-Jew, that clearly will define the Jew as the owner. That's called a kinyan, and he will be chayv and tefila. But the question is, are there any other connections that he could establish with the kli and be mechayv himself and tefila as well? So from the Gemara, you get the impression that if he just borrows the kli from the non-Jew, he's not chayv and tefila. So we spent a lot of time discussing circumstances in which perhaps a shoel would be chayv and tefila as kelim. But that's only one part of this statement of Chazal. The other part of the statement is that the kli has to be a non-Jewish kli. It has to belong to the non-Jew. The Jew is acquiring a kli in some way or form from the non-Jew. So first of all, the Jew has to acquire the kli. He has to develop a connection with it. But secondly, there had to have been a connection between the kli and the non-Jew previously. And that's what's mechayev and tevila when the Jew takes over. So clearly, if the non-Jew owned the kli, there's no question that he had a connection with that kli, and there would be a chayev tevila if the Jew took it over. What we started discussing yesterday is, are there any other ways that the non-Jew can establish a connection with the kli, which would be mechayev the kli in tevila when the Jew takes it over? And the case that we discussed was one of Uman. Let's say the non-Jew is commissioned, he's hired to fix the kli or to make the kli. Let's say the Jew gives a mound of silver, if you will, to the silversmith, and he says, make a becher for me. Not fixing the kli. The other case could be that there's a hole in the kli, and the non-Jewish artisan, the non-Jewish silversmith, is commissioned to fix the kli. But either way, the Uman Akum is asked to fix the kli, make the kli, do something to this kli. So the question is, does that establish a certain relationship between the non-Jew and the kli that would be mechayev and tefila when the Yisrael takes it over, or not? So the Rosh quoted one opinion, I think he called it Yesh Rotzim Lomar, that this should be dependent on the age-old question as to whether Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. If we assume that Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, which is how we happen to paskin, if an Uman acquires the improvement of the Kli, so then here too, the non-Jewish Uman will acquire the Shvach Kli, he'll become some kind of a Miktas Bailim in the Gufa Kli, and therefore when the Jew takes it back, he'll have to be tovel the Kli, because it's like acquiring the Kli from the non-Jew. Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, he reacquired the Kli when he took it back from the non-Jew, so therefore he'll have to be tovel. This is a Yesh Rotzim Lomar that the Rosh quoted. But the Rosh and Tosas disagree, all the other Rishonim seem to disagree, but we mentioned yesterday you could disagree for one of two reasons. You could disagree, first of all, for a reason that the Rishonim don't even mention. If you take the approach of the Ktos HaChoshen seriously, the Ktos in Simen Shin Vav, Sivkot and Dalid, explains that Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli doesn't mean that the Uman actually acquires part of the Gufa Kli because of the Shevach, because of the improvement that he caused to this Kli. But rather that the Uman acquires the Shvach HaKli. Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli means he acquires the Shevach. L'may Nafkemina, he can be Mekadesh and Isha with that Shevach. He's not Mekadesh the Isha with the Kli. He doesn't own the Kli, but he owns the Shevach. So he can be Mekadesh and Isha with that Shevach. If you were to say that Uman is not Kona B'Shvach Kli, he couldn't even be Mekadesh and Isha with that Shevach. He deserves payment from the Balabayas, but he doesn't own the Shevach. The Balabayas, the owner of the Kli, owns the Shevach. He has a right, he has a zechus to the payment that he can demand from the Balabais, but he doesn't really own the Shevach. But according to the Man D'Amar, Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, the Uman actually owns the Shevach, so he can be Mekadesh and Isha with that Shevach. That's how the Ktos HaChoshen understood the Man D'Amar, Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. So according to the Ktos's understanding, the question doesn't begin. The Shita of the Yesh Rotzim Lomar doesn't really have any validity, because the Uman, the non-Jewish worker, never owned the Kli to begin with. He only owned the Shevach, maximum. So the fact that he owned the Shevach doesn't mean that the Jew should have to be tovel the Kli when he takes it back from the non-Jew. So this is one way that you could reject this position that the Rosh quotes. But the other way that you could reject this is what the Rosh and Tosfos write, is that even if you'll hold that Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, and even if you'll say that Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli means that the Uman actually acquires some chelik in the Gufa Kli, there still shouldn't be any Chiyav Tevila when the Yisrael takes it over from the non-Jew. Because the only time that there's a Chiyav Tevila is if Shem Nochri Olav, if the name of the Nachri is associated with this Kli. And even if you'll say that Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, no one would say that the Shem HaNachri is Nitfas in this Kli, that the Shem HaNachri is associated with that Kli. Yes, Al Pidin, Uman might be Kona B'Shvach Kli, it could be Mekadesh and Isha with that Shevach, with that Gufa, the Kinyan, the Gufa Kli that he has, but his shame is not going to be chal on this kli. No one associates that with the uman. They look at this kli as belonging to the Baal HaBayis. So because no one associates the kli with the uman, we wouldn't say that shame nachri olav, so therefore there's no chiyuv tevila. Okay. These are the different shitas. So how do we paskin? So we mentioned yesterday, that's the machlokes, the mechaber and the ramah. The mechaber and the ramah in Simen Kuf Chaf and Sif Yud Aleph take the different shitas. The mechaber paskin is like Tosis in the Rush. He assumes that uman kona b'shvach kli doesn't play a role in this shayla at all. Even if you hold uman kona b'shvach kli, which we do, nevertheless in this case we'll say that ain shem nachri olav, and therefore there's no chiyuv tevila when the Yisrael takes it back from the guy. But the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says v'yesh cholkim. He quotes the yesh rotzim lomar of the Rush. Yesh cholkim that if you hold uman kona b'shvach kli, then there really will be a chiyuv tevila. So the Ramah concludes v'yesh l'tov lo below bracha. The Ramah doesn't say me'ikar adin, we paskin like the yesh rotzim lomar, and you have to be tov with the kli with the bracha. No, it's like the old circumstance that Sveika derais l'chumim would tell me we should be choshish for such a shita, at least be tov with the kli. But l'gabi the bracha, the Ramah says you could be mekel. Right? You'll be makel for the bracha, even though you'll be machmir in terms of the actual tefillah itself. Now, this machlokes, the Ramah and the Mechaber, at first glance, doesn't really come up. I mean, there aren't so many circumstances in which a person is going to give metal to an uman to make a kli. And there aren't so many cases in which a person is going to give a broken kli to an uman to fix. So at first glance, it seems like a nice lomdusha machlokes that you could talk about in shir, but it doesn't seem so lemaisa. Well, the truth is, it doesn't seem lemaisa, but at first glance, it might be very lemaisa. Not so much in the case of the uman fixing the kli, or the uman getting the clot of metal from the Yisrael directly to make the kli, but let's talk about a situation in which a factory has different workers in it. Let's say the factory has non-Jewish workers in it. That also could be a case of uman kona b'shvach kli at first glance. Let's say the factory is owned by a Jew. If it's owned by a guy and they're a non-Jewish worker, there's no question. That obviously would render all the kalim as clay akum, and a Jew who buys from that factory would have to be tov with the kalim. But let's say the factory is owned by a Jew. So at first glance you'd say they're clay Yisrael, they're kalim that are owned by Yisrael, but the workers are non-Jews. So should we say those Ashkenazim are going to be machmer for the Ramah, that yesh l'tov lo below bracha, that perhaps we should be machmer for the sheet of the yesh rotzim lomar, that maybe uman kona b'shvach kli does play a role in this case, and then we should be machmer to be tov with the kli without a bracha? What should be the halacha in this case, where you have a factory that's owned by a Jew, but nevertheless the workers are non-Jews? Should we say uman kona b'shvach kli in that case? And then you should have to be tov at least without a bracha, but you should have to be tov with the kli or not. So the Sefer Tevilas Kelim on page Samachay Ha'ora Beis Star, he quotes some Achronim, he quotes the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Chochmas Adam. Some Achronim hold that you should follow the Ramah and you should be matbil these kelim without a bracha. Absolutely. That's what some Achronim want to suggest. Wow. But the Sefer Tefillas Kelim quotes other Achronim. He quotes three reasons in the name of the Achronim that perhaps this is unrelated to the whole discussion of the Mechaber Ramah about uman kona b'shvach kli. In this case, there'd be no question that you would not have to be tovel at all. Case of a factory owned by a Jew, but the workers are non-Jews. The Tefillas Kelim quotes three svaras from the Achronim that you should not have to be tov with the Kelim at all. What are these svaras? He says, first of all, the Yoruch HaShulchan in Sif Nun Ches says that maybe workers in a factory are not subject to the rule of uman kona b'shvach kli. Why? Because maybe uman kona b'shvach kli only applies if the uman is what we call a kablon. A kablon. He's hired for this particular kli, for this particular job. If the uman is hired for this particular job, so then he can develop a relationship with the kli, then maybe we'll say uman kona b'shvach kli. But the workers that we have in a factory are what we call schirei yom. They're day laborers. They get paid a salary. They're not connected to any one of the kelim. They're not hired for any particular kli. So the Yoruch HaShulchan suggests maybe schirei yom are not subject to the rule of uman kona b'shvach kli. So even if you'll be machmer for the Ramah, that uman kona b'shvach kli does play a role in tefillas kelim, to be machmer, at least to be tovah without a bracha, but maybe in this context, there's no reason to be machmer, because the poalim, the workers in the base charoshes, as he calls it, in the factory, they're schirei yom, they're not kablonim. Yeah?
Let's say you get paid by commission. Like you get paid per the amount of
per kli
that you make.
Mm. Interesting, that's an interesting shaila. So that would be more similar to a kablon.
Right.
different. Maybe in that case it would be different. I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan thought of the idea of commission. Maybe that's a modern American idea. I think most workers in a factory are not paid by commission. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. They'd be paid by commission, so maybe the svar of the Aruch HaShulchan would not apply. Okay, this is svar number one. Then the Tfilas Kelev quotes Rav Moshe in a tshuva, in Igris Moshe Yoredei Chelek Beis, page Shin Gimel. Rav Moshe says, maybe there's another reason why perhaps Umakon HaBishvachli won't apply in this case. Why not? Because the Umanim are not really doing the work over here. Most factories are working with machines. The Uman just helps the machine work. So again, Rav Moshe says, maybe there's no connection developed between the Uman and the Kli. Because he's not really doing the main work. The machine is doing the work. He's just pressing buttons. So maybe the concept of Uman Kona B'Shvachli will not apply in this case either. And then thirdly, the Tfilas Kelim quotes from the Chazon Ish that we mentioned yesterday. The Chazon Ish says, maybe Uman Kona B'Shvachli doesn't apply B'Zman Hazeh to non-Jewish Umanim at all. Because since Bedina Akum, Bedina de Malchusa Uman is certainly not Kona B'Shvachli, no one would say Bedina de Malchusa that the workers have a connection to the Kli. So it doesn't make any sense, says the Chazon Ish, that Dine HaTorah will give the workers a zchus in the Kli of the Yisrael more than Dine Akum would. If Dine Akum don't give the non-Jewish Uman a kinyan in the Gufa Kli, so why would Dine Yisrael give him that zchus? The Dine Yisrael are not going to give the non-Jewish worker more of a zchus in the Jewish Kli, in the Kli owned by the Jew, than Dine Akum will. So these are three reasons that the Sefer Tfilas Kelim gives to say that even though there are some Achronim who claim that perhaps you should be Mechayev Tevila without a bracha to this Kli that was made by non-Jewish workers in the factory, he thinks that most poskim would disagree for different reasons. Either because the workers Bizman Hazeh are Schirei Yom, or at least most of them are Schirei Yom, they're day laborers and not Kablonim, or because they're not really doing the work, it's the machine that's really doing the work, or maybe by an Uman Akum Bizman Hazeh, maybe Uman Kona B'Shvachli doesn't apply at all, because B'dinei Akum Uman Kona B'Shvachli doesn't apply. So then B'dinei Yisrael, doesn't make sense that the Torah is going to give more of a zchus to the non-Jew in the Kli Yisrael than the B'dinei Akum are going to give. What's the halacha in the reverse case? Let's say the Kli is made in a factory that's owned by a guy, but the workers are Jewish. So it's not really such a common case. I think most factory workers are probably non-Jews, except in Eretz Yisrael maybe, but then the factory is not going to be owned by the non-Jew either. Right? But most factories that are owned by non-Jews, some of them are going to have non-Jewish workers. But what's the din if you would have a Jewish worker? Jewish workers in the non-Jewish factory. So Lachar, according to at least most of the reasons that the Tfilas Kelim gave, Lachar, there shouldn't be a Chiyuv Tfilah there either. Right? According to the Aruch HaShulchan, that by Schirei Yom there's no din of Umakon HaBishvachli, so these are Schirei Yom. According to Rav Moshe, that if they're using machines, there's no din of Umakon HaBishvachli, right? They're using machines. How about according to the Chazon Ish? So according to the Chazon Ish, that might not apply, right? The svar of the Chazon Ish might not apply to an Uman Yisrael. What the Chazon Ish said was that an Uman Akum is not going to be Kona B'Shvachli because since B'dinei Akum we don't say Uman Kona B'Shvachli, B'dinei Yisrael, we're not going to afford him a greater zchus in the Kli Yisrael. But let's say the Uman is Yisrael. The Uman Yisrael is governed by Dinei HaTorah. So maybe we should say Uman Kona B'Shvachli. So at least according to the Chazon Ish, maybe there's room for debate. But Lechora, we could probably be Mekel. Well, we could probably assume, like the other Shitas, to say that Uman Kona B'Shvachli probably will not apply over here, since Rov Rishonim argue with the Yesh Rotzim Lomar anyway. That opinion of the Yesh Rotzim Lomar and the Rosh is a Das Yachid. Most Rishonim argue with the Yesh Rotzim Lomar, and Rav Moshe and the Aruch HaShulchan will say that in the context that we're talking, Uman Kona B'Shvachli wouldn't apply even according to the Yesh Rotzim Lomar. L'chori, you could probably say that the holding of Uman Kona B'Shvachli doesn't apply. So in that situation where the factory is owned by the non-Jew, I would say that you should be tova with a bracha. Should probably be a tova with a bracha because we follow the owner. The whole shaila is: do we say Uman Kona B'Shvachli? But from according to most shitos, we wouldn't say Uman Kona B'Shvachli here. So if we don't say Uman Kona B'Shvachli, the kli remains a kli akum. So there, I think you should be tova with the bracha. Okay, so even if you'll have some kind of some number of Jewish workers, I don't think you have to be choshesh. First of all, I don't think you have to be choshesh for it anyway. Rove workers are going to be non-Jews anyway. But even if there are a significant number of Jewish workers, I think the din of Mekana Mishvachli would probably not apply b'sman hazeh for the different reasons that we enumerated. And therefore, we'll just assume that the kli belongs to a non-Jew. So when the Yisrael buys it from that Jewish factory, so then he should be chayav in tefillah. Yes. With a bracha, yes. If the factory is owned by the non-Jew.
Right.
If the factory is owned by the Jew, I wouldn't be tovel at all.
Right.
If I'm giving a clod of metal to the non-Jewish uman, or I'm giving the bechar to the non-Jewish uman to fix, so then that's a machlokas mechab ramah, and for that I'd be machmer like the ramah to be tovel, but I wouldn't make a bracha. Okay, that's the basic story. But we still have one point that we want to make. Yeah?
We said according to the Chazon Ish, there was just room to... Why isn't just obviously...
Well, I was wondering if according to the Chazon Ish, the pshat is that if b'dine akum, if the dina de malchusa is that uman is not kona b'shvachli, so maybe dina de malchusa dina will tell me that we should be mekel to assume, look, if b'dina de malchusa, you're not going to be able to be motzi the mamon, the uman can't demand that he... Right? The uman can't demand his chus. I mean, he can demand payment, but he can't say, you know, I have bilus in this kli because people are going to laugh at him. So the dine hataran are not going to afford him a greater schus. So maybe you could say, look, the Jew also lives in the same malchus as the non-Jew. So if dina de machusa tells us that the Jew doesn't have a schus in the kli, so dine hatara won't say that the Jew has a schus in the kli either. The way the Chazon Ish said it, if you look carefully at the lashon of the Chazon Ish, he says that the non-Jew is not going to be given a greater schus than his own dinim would give him. I think that's the lashon. Let's see. V'nira de'ena nidon elem kain gam b'dineihem hadin kain. De'im b'dineihem eno kone, ein lo z'chus l'gabe Yisrael. If b'dineihem eno kone, so he's not going to have a z'chus regarding this kli of the Yisrael. What does that mean? That means that the non-Jewish uman, the Chazon Ish is saying something special about an uman akum? Or is he saying that if b'dineihem, if the dina de malchusa doesn't allow the uman to become a b'shvach kli, the dina Yisrael are not going to allow any uman to become a b'shvach kli, to lord it over the Bailim, who's the Yisrael. Is that what he's saying? I don't know. What's he saying? What do you think?
Well, if that's what he... Would that mean that Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli doesn't really exist in most places?
B'Zman Hazeh. Maybe that's what the Chazon Ish is saying. Is he saying in general, because Dina de Machusa Dina, so therefore the Klal of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli falls by the wayside? Or is he saying something special about Uman Akum? So I think, you could debate the point. I thought that the Chazon Ish really was saying something special about Uman Akum, even though from his words it's not so clear. So if he's saying something special about Uman Akum, then Yitaka right. Then it would turn out that in a factory that's owned by a non-Jew with Jewish workers, then we would say Uman Kona B'Shvachli according to the Chazon Ish, and then you would not be told of the Kli. But I think it's a matter that's open for debate. So I just wanted to mention that idea. You can think about it later. You can think about it, look at the Chazon Ish, look at the Lashon of the Chazon Ish, and try to figure out what you think he's saying. But let's take this one step further. Most of our kelim are actually not made in a privately owned factory. The cases that we've been talking about till now are a case in which the factory is owned by a Jew or owned by a non-Jew, and yet they have non-Jewish or Jewish workers. Most cases that we have as man hazeh, the kelim are manufactured by a company. Company. Corporation. Is a corporation viewed in the same way as a private owner? It certainly is different. There are multiple owners in a corporation. So should we look at a corporation differently than we look at it at an individual owner or not? Well, that brings up the next issue, the next shiloh when it comes to connections that people have to kelim and the chiyuv of tefilas kelim for different connections. And that is shutfis, partnership. What's the halacha if a Jew and a non-Jew own a kli in partnership? Would we view that as a kinyan that is mechayev in tefilas kelim? Let's say the Jew and the non-Jew acquired the kli from a non-Jew. There was one non-Jew who was an individual owner of this kli, and then he sold it to the Jew and the non-Jew in partnership. Is that mechayev in tefilas kelim or not? So that's a discussion. The Ramah in Sif Yud Aleph, the continuation of that, the continuation of the next Sif, actually. Ramah says, Yisrael v'akam shekonu. Shekonu kli b'shutfus ein tzarech tefila. The Ramah paskins that if a Yisrael and a non-Jew acquire a kli b'shutfus, there's no chiyuv tefila at all. they acquire a kli b'shutvas from a non-Jew, obviously. If they acquire it from a Jew, that could also be a shaila, but I think we're talking about acquiring it from a non-Jew. The Ramah says, if the Yisrael and the Yaakov acquire the kli b'shutvas from a non-Jew, there's no chiv tefillah. Why not? So the Shach in Sivkot and Chof Dalid, he quotes from the Sefer Issa v'Heter. The Shach actually in Sivkot and Chavav says, look back at what I said in Sivkot and Chav Dalet, and you'll understand what the reason is for this halacha too. So what does he say in Sivkot and Chav Dalet? He quotes from the Sefer Issa v'Heter that says, well, what's the purpose of Tfilas Kelim? What's Tfilas Kelim coming to accomplish? We've been talking for 6 days about Tfilas Kelim, but we haven't really discussed why we have to be Tovel Kelim. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit later in greater detail. But the Shach quotes from the Issa v'Heter that, you know what the purpose of Tfilas Kelim is? The Tfilas Kelim is to be metaher the kli, or to be motzi, I should say, to be motzi the kli from Tumas Akum, and to be machnis the kli l'kedushas Yisrael. To take it out from Tumas Akum and to put it into Kedushas Yisrael. That's the purpose of Tfilas Kelim. So says the Shach, if that's the case, then if Yisrael and a non-Jew will acquire a kli b'shutvas from a non-Jew, there's no chiv of Tfilas Kelim, because it hasn't left Tumas Akum completely. It still has Tumas Akum on it. It's still owned by the goy. It's owned in part by the non-Jews. It's owned in part by the non-Jew. It hasn't left Tumas Akum. Even if it has a miktas kedushas Yisrael, because now it's owned partially by the Yisrael, it doesn't matter. It hasn't left the Tumas Akum completely, so therefore there's no chiv of tevila. That's how the Shach explains the Rambam. So the question is, how to use this information and apply it to corporations? How should we look at corporations? At first glance, if you were to ask me, I'd say a corporation is a shutvas. It's a partnership. So if you have some owners are Jewish and some owners are non-Jewish, so the Chor, we should say it's a shutvas. So if a Jew acquires from this shutvas, l'chora, the kli should be chayiv in tefillah. Why? Because the Ramah is saying if the Jew and the non-Jew acquire a kli and shutvas from a non-Jew, there's no chayiv tefillah because it hasn't left Tumas Akam completely. If a Jew and a non-Jew own the kli, there still is a Tumas Akam on that kli. If the Yisrael were to buy out the non-Jew, Yisrael buys out the Nochri from the shutvas, chora, that kli would be chayiv in tefillas kelim. Because now there's no Tumas Akum. It's nichnas into a full Kedushas Yisrael. It's left Tumas Akum completely. There's no question there should be a Chiyuv Tefillah. So similarly, if you have a corporation that owns the Kli v'Shutfus, there are Jewish and non-Jewish partners, so then if a Jew will buy this Kli, then it no longer has Tumas Akum associated with it. Now it has a full Kedushas Yisrael. So then Lechora, it should be Chayiv Tefillas Kelim. That's what you would imagine. But the question is, how really do we look at a corporation? Is a corporation really viewed as a Shutfus, a full Shutfus? Or maybe it's viewed somewhat differently. So this is a long discussion in the Poskim, back and forth in the Poskim, regarding many different issues, not just Tfilas Kelim, regarding issues of ribis, because we know you're allowed to charge ribis to a non-Jew, but not to a Jew, regarding issues of chametz b'pesach. Let's say you own shares in a company that deals in chametz. If you own shares in Cheerios, let's say, are you allowed to own shares in Cheerios? And then someone is going to buy Cheerios after Pesach. Maybe we should view it as Cheerios that's owned by you because you're a Jew. Partial ownership. Maybe that should be a problem in terms of Chametz with Pesach. Are you allowed to own shares in a company that's going to do work on Shabbos? It's going to do Malach on Shabbos. This is a far-reaching question which touches on many different areas, but it also touches on Tfilas Kelim, because depending on what the ownership of the corporation, how we'll define the ownership of the corporation, that might determine how exactly or whether this Kli is going to be Chayv in Tfilas Kelim. So this discussion we find in the Sefer Tfilas Kelim at the beginning of Perek Beis, I think it is. I have over here a page number. Page Samach Dalet, Ha'ora Aleph Star. Where do we have this in the packet? Backroads. Yeah, the beginning of Perek Beis. Beginning of Perek Beis, there's a long discussion in Ha'ora Aleph Star. He quotes different Mefarshim. Different poskim take different approaches to the whole idea of a corporation. Rav Moshe felt that a corporation is not a straight shutvis, but rather, it depends who has a controlling interest in this corporation. Just because you're a shareholder in the corporation doesn't mean that you're a shutvis in this, that you're a part owner. Al pi din. You might be a part owner, you know, based on American law, but you're not viewed as an owner al pi din. Rav Moshe thought that you have to have a controlling interest in the corporation in order to be viewed as an owner. That's very important. Lemais, in terms of Chameis, in terms of Shabbos, there could be Jewish owners, but if rove of the owners are non-Jews, so then they have the controlling interest, they are a majority majority shareholders in a corporation, so maybe we shouldn't view this as a Shudvus Yisrael, we should view it as completely owned by the non-Jew. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed, and many other poskim took his approach. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that a corporation is not a Shudvus at all, but we don't even look at controlling interests. A corporation is a different entity. It's a unique entity. It's not a partnership at all. Right? It's not like it's owned by Jews, it's owned by non-Jews, it's owned by the controlling interest. No, it's a unique entity unto itself. So how does that translate into Tfilas Kalim? So if you take Rav Moshe's approach that controlling interest is the koveya, it depends who's the controlling interest. Mistama, if Rov of the partners are Akum, Rav Moshe would say that it's Chayv in Tfilas. If Rov is Yisrael, Rav Moshe would say that it's part of Tfilas Kalim if you buy from the corporation. What should we say if you take Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach, if you assume that the corporation is a unique entity? So that's not at all clear. Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, I think, suggested that since a corporation is a unique entity, so then there should be a chiyuv tefillah with a bracha. Because what are you doing? The kli is entering into Kedushas Yisrael from nothingness. You can't say that Tumas Akum because it's not owned by a non-Jew. There's no shutfus of Akum over here. But it didn't have Kedushas Yisrael. There was a unique entity that owned this item. Right? So maybe we can suggest that it's Chayiv and Tefillah. That's what some poskim suggest. If you hold that a corporation is a unique entity, so then maybe it's Taka Chayiv and Tefillah when the Yisrael buys from the unique entity that's called a corporation, and it should be Chayiv and Tefillah with a bracha. Rabbi Shechter, I heard, disagreed. He claimed Fakaret. If it's a unique entity, so then it's not coming from Tumas Akum. Even though it's entering into Kedushas Yisrael, so what? But it's not coming from Tumas Akum. So if it's not coming from Tumas Akum, then there shouldn't be a Chiyuv of Tefillah. You want to be Machmir to assume that maybe you should be Tova? Fine, but don't be Tova with a bracha. Wow. So according to Rabbi Shechter, what would come out is even if the controlling interest in the corporation is non-Jewish, you have rove partners are non-Jews, Rav Shechter will say that if you buy from the corporation, you buy a kli from, I don't know, Mikasa, Rav Shechter would say you should be tovah without a bracha, because you're not buying from a non-Jew. If it's owned by a corporation, not owned by one individual, or family, or whatever, but it's owned by different people, it's a consortium of different groups, so then it has a status of a unique entity. It doesn't have Tumas Akum. It doesn't have Tumas Akum, so then there really shouldn't be a chiyuv tefillah. You want to be macher to be tovel, be macher for those other shittas, fine, you can be macher from today until tomorrow, but don't make a bracha on such a tefillah. It's quite an interesting shita. I think most poskim would say that if you have rov akum, the ownership is rov akum, so then we can assume that bein if we follow controlling interest, bein if we assume that the corporation is a unique entity, if you buy from the corporation, you can be tovah with a bracha. Rabbi Shachter would say you should be tovah without a bracha if you buy from a corporation. Yes?
Nowadays, what is something that Rabbi Shachter would tovah with a bracha? What is there?
Right, it's mamish, it's incredible, right? I guess if you, there's no reason to believe, everything is owned by a corporation, so if you buy any kalim, you're right. I don't know. I don't know. I would say it's crazy, but I would say it's quite amazing, right? It sort of throws everything on its head. I think that's what Rabbi Shechter said. That's what I heard. Yeah, maybe you should clarify with him. But I don't think most poskim would follow that sheet. I think most poskim would assume that if you have a controlling interest of non-Jews, so then either way you slice it, you should be told with a bracha you buy from that corporation. Okay, just one final shaila before we end this discussion of who actually is creating the kli. The Sefer Tfilas Kalim quotes another machlokas in the poskim. Let's say you don't know whether the factory is owned by Jews or not owned by Jews. The workers are Jews or non-Jews. It's a suffix. You don't know what to do. Can you follow Rove in this case? So you'd say, what's the question? We always follow Rove in a suffix. In a sveikah derabbanan, in a sveikah derai. So why shouldn't I follow Rove over here? So that's the whole discussion. You have to look in the Tfilas Kalim to see that. On page Samaches, Heora Vav Star. A lot of starred Heoras over here, which probably means that he added them after the Sefer was first written. So many other things came to his mind after he first wrote the Sefer, so he felt they were very important. He wanted to put them in. So in this Heora Vav Star, he quotes Machlokas in the Poskim. So it's not so clear that we should follow Rov in this case. Why? Because there's a principle in Hilchos Tarovis that if the suffix is not created in public, meaning if you take out from a store, let's say there are 10 stores in a community, in a neighborhood, and 9 are selling kosher and 1 is selling non-kosher. So you would say, let's follow Rov. You find a piece of meat in the street. So most of us, if we found a piece of meat in the street, we wouldn't eat it. It's just not sanitary. But in those times, I guess they would eat more than what we would eat. So the case in the Gemara in Chulin is, let's say you find a piece of meat in the street, so you can follow Rov. Benimsa haloch achar harov. But what happens if you took it out? Let's say you went into the store, you bought a piece of meat from one of the stores, but you just don't remember which store you bought from. There are some stores that sell kosher, some stores that sell treif. So why are you walking into the store that sells treif? It sells other items also. So you walk into the store, you don't remember where you bought the meat from. It's a strange case, but that's what the Gemara says. So in that case, you can't follow Rov because there's a principle called kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. Anything that's kavua, anything that's established in its place, we assume kemechza mechza dami, it has a new halacha, that it's like half and half, meaning we don't follow Rov. If the suffix is nolad b'makom kavua, if the suffix is nolad, the suffix is created in a place which is kavua, which is established. It's not no man's land. It's not the street. The suffix was established in the store. You just forgot after you bought it while you were still in the store, even if you forget later. But the suffix was nolad when you bought the item in the store. So once it was kavua in the store, then kol kavua kamachza machza dami, we assume it's 50-50, so you can't follow Rov. So that's the problem that the poskim raise here. The suffix here is there a non-Jewish factory in that area? If there is a non-Jewish factory in the area, so then this is kavua, it's not Rov. The question is, are Rov the stores non-Jewish? Great. But that's not really the issue, because if there is one Jewish factory, so then the kalim that are taken from that non-Jewish factory, you shouldn't be able to follow Rov for those kalim. We should say, kol kavua kamachza machza dami. The suffix where this kli was created when the kli was actually formed. It was formed in the Jewish factory. It was formed by Makom Kavua, so maybe we shouldn't be able to follow Rov there. So it's a discussion. The poskim are not sure that you can follow Rov. So ultimately, if you have a suffix as to whether this was made in a Jewish factory or a non-Jewish factory, it could be that it's a question. It's not so clear that we can just assume it was made in a non-Jewish factory if Rov of the factories in that area, Taka, are owned by non-Jews. But the poskim do say that if there are no Jewish factories in that place, or if there are no non-Jewish factories in place, then we assume that it was done based on the factories that we know of. Meaning, like, if you have kalim that are made in Japan or made in China or made in Korea, there are no Jewish factories in Korea, as far as I know. Right? There are Jewish companies in Korea, I guess. There are Jewish companies in China. But are there Jewish... I don't know. I take it back. I don't know. the assumption, when the Sefer Tefilas Kalim was written, the assumption that he made was that any kalim that I made in Japan, made in China, kalim, not sweaters. You don't have to be tovel your sweater. You don't have to be tovel clothing, right? But any kalim, earthenware kalim, and, you know, earthenware kalim and achayv tefillah, but I'm saying, you know, plates and bowls and cups and things like that, so you have earthenware stuff, and you have metal stuff, and you have glass, and so all these things, the assumption was there are no Jewish companies in the Far East. Now, I don't know if that's really true. If there are Jewish companies in the Far East, and you wouldn't assume that Umar Kona B'Shvach Kli, so then these kalim are going to be called Jewish kalim. I think the assumption of the poskim is that most of these kalim, I mean, certainly, I should say, all of the kalim in the Far East are made by non-Jews, owned by non-Jews, and then they're imported. So for those kalim, there certainly would be a chiyuv of tevila with a bracha. But if you'd have a suffix, then it's not a question. It's not so clear that we would follow Rov. Because maybe we should say, kol kavua kamachza machza dami. It's really, it's actually a question. Yes?
What about by the hotel? Is it the same idea? Like,
what do you
let's
mean?
Say you don't know whether the owner of the hotel, let's say the hotel is also on the shutvis, or as a corporation, there's a lot of investors in this hotel. So you're at a hotel in the city, and you don't know if the Marriott's owned by a Jew or a guy, and you just want to have, I don't know, you want to use something from there or something. I don't know. Would you?
So if you don't know that the Marriott is owned by, it seems from the Tefillas Kalim that most. Most poskim would say that a corporation is a unique entity. So if it's a unique entity, So they would say that there would be a chiyuv of tefillah if you were to buy a kli from them. But let's say you just want to use the kli.
Let's say you want to buy it, like they have a store.
A store.
Right? Can you assume that row of hotels, would it be the same issue?
I think we can assume that the controlling interest in the hotels is probably non-Jewish, unless you really know. Right? Normally when you have a supermarket, so we know which supermarkets have a controlling interest of Jews. Wolbaum's and other, right? Well, I think Wolbaum's, Pathmark, well, no, Pathmark is a controlling interest, I don't remember. Wolbaum's, I think, is owned by a Jew. Ari Wolbaum, no? Isn't that his name? I think there are some supermarkets that are actually owned by Jews. So even if there are other partners or other shareholders, but certainly the controlling interest is the family that owns the store. So if the controlling interest is Jewish, so then I would say that you certainly should not be tovah with a bracha. But if the controlling interest is non-Jewish, certainly rove of the shareholders are non-Jewish, so then I think there's what to be mekel for, that if you're buying the kli, you can be tovah with a bracha. I think so. Okay? Okay. Yeah.
I think we use the kli in a hotel. Like,
so we talked about that, right? If you want to use the kli in the hotel, it's a glass cup. So if it's owned by a non-Jew, if we assume that the hotel is owned by a non-Jew, then there really is no problem using that glass. Because if you only borrow a kli from the non-Jew, there's no chiyuv tefillah. That's a gemara. The only question is if the restaurant or the catering establishment, if the hotel is owned by a Jew. So if it's owned by a Jew, there's a question whether the kelim that he has, the klei schora, these cups and dishes and things that he uses for his business, are they defined as klei schora? That's what the Beis Yosef meant when he talked about klei schora, or maybe he meant something different. He was talking about kelim that you buy in order to sell to someone else, but this is not klei schora. If this is klei schora, so then you would not have to be tovah. But if it's not klei schora, then there would be a chiyuv. We talked a little bit about that. But if you're in a non-Jewish hotel, the chora, you would be able to drink from the cup, right? Assuming there's no kashrus issue, right? But to drink a cold soda from a glass, of course, should not be a problem at all. I, Tfilas Kalim, no. The hotel is owned by a non-Jew. If the controlling interest is non-Jewish, so there is no Chiyuv Tevila. Even if the non-Jew could have bought the Kalim from a Jew or from a non-Jew, it doesn't matter. We're looking at the owner now. As long as he's a non-Jewish owner now, so then if I borrow a Kli from him, I'm able to use it even without Tevila. And it could even be that if you're using the cups and the dishes at the hotel, you might not even be called a shoel, as we discussed. It was one sheet that claimed you're not really called a shoel. You're not borrowing, because you really wouldn't be chayev b'achrayas if any accident occurred. If you broke the glass, you might not even be chayev to pay. So you might even have a status lower than a shoel. So it certainly would be mutter to use the kalim as long as the hotel is owned by a non-Jew. Yes.
Just one quick question about something you mentioned also. So we were discussing the whole idea of place schora. So I think in Brooklyn they have these stores that they have a mix on the back,
right?
Just in Matsyoshi,
right.
So what if the owners?
They talk about that. Can the owner be tovel? The Sefer Tefillas Kalim says the owner should not be tovel, because it's not clear that the owner is even chayv in tefillah. Maybe he's not chayv in tefillah. Maybe this is clay schora. So if it's clay schora, the owner can't be. The owner wants to do the guy a favor. He wants to do the customer a favor. So he'll be tovel kalim. It's not a favor. It's not a favor. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And fakir, he's gonna create a problem, because the customer is going to have to be told with the kli again, but he's going to have to be told with the kli without a bracha. Because if it turns out that it wasn't klei schara, then the owner could have been told with the kli for him, so then the customer is not going to be able to be told with the kli. Moreover, sometimes the owner of the store will help out the customer. The customer is going to go to pay, and the owner says, you know what, I'll take the kli, I'll be told with it. Just go pay. Just 1 second. Let him pay first. It's got to be his kli. Unless you allow him b'kinyan hakbah, b'kinyan meshicha, to be koneh the kli, it's got to be his kli first. If not, you, the store owner, are being tovah the kli. It's a whole suffix whether you really can be tovah the kli. He might have to be tovah the kli again after he buys the kli. Wait until, if you want to help him out, the best thing is wait until he pays for it. Then you can open the packaging, you can be tovah the kli, give it to him, and give him a bracha, and let him take it home and use it. Okay. Let's move on now. Now that we've finished discussing the types of kli that are chayv in tevila, and the different connections that the Jew and the non-Jew have to have to this kli in order to be chayv in tefillah, issues of shutvis and she'ela and lots of other interesting things. Let's talk about the tefillah itself. We finally got to the act of tefillah itself. So let's talk about details relating to the Tevilas Kelim itself. We mentioned in one of the first shiurim, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right after the Mishnah, the Afayin Hamad Beis, the Gemara says, Tana v'chulon tzrichin tefila barbaim se'ah. All these kelim, the kelim that you buy from the non-Jew, they all require tevila in a mikveh of 40 sa'ah. Menohani mili amarava di amakra, kol davar sheyafa ba'esh, tavir ba'esh v'tahir. Rava quotes a pasuk from Parshas Matas, that kol davar sheyafa ba'esh, tavir ba'esh v'tahir. Torah says that any kelim that you acquire from the non-Jew, whether as they had regarding clay midyan, bekibush mechama, you acquired it, or you acquired it through mechira, matana, whatever, any kelim that you acquire from a non-Jew, if it was used, we'll discuss this in greater detail, if it was used ala esh, it was used in the fire, so then tavir ba'esh, you have to do libun on it, you have to put it back into the fire. But then the Torah adds v'toher, it adds another word, v'toher, which teaches me, hosev l'cha akosev taira acheres, the Torah adds an extra taira. What's the extra taira? B'mikvah, that you have to be tovel the kli. But then the Gemara quotes another braisa, Tani bar kapara, mitoch shenemar b'mein yidah, shamei ani shetzar chazah shlishu shvi. There's another pasuk in Parshas Matos. The pasuk says, ach b'mein yidah yischata. Kol davar sheyov ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher, ach b'mein yidah yischata. So what does ach b'mein yidah yischata mean? So bar kapara says, at first glance, I think it means that you need chazah shlishu shvi. You have to sprinkle the efer of the paraduma on the kli. And Taka, you would. If it would be Tami Tumas Meis, and you don't want it to be Mitami other things, you would have to sprinkle the Hazar Shlishi Shvi on it. But is that what the Pasuk is coming to teach me? So said Bar Kapara, no. Talmud Lomar, Ach Chilek. So it says, Ach B'meni Da Yischata, Ach Chilek, Ach separates. And tells me another Chiddush. Right? Telling me something different. Imkei Ma Talmud Lomar B'meni Da, Mayim Shanida Tovelas Bahen. Hevi Omer Arbaim Sa'ah. Ach Chilek, Ach tells me something different. It's not like something that's Tamei Tumas Meis. No, V'toher is telling me something totally different than the Tahara Mitumas Meis of some other Kli. Rather, what's it telling me? It's telling me Tevilas Kelim. It's telling me that you have to be Tovelit in a mikvah. Why does the Pasuk use the Lashon of Mei Nida? To teach me that just like a Nida is Tovelas Barbaim Sa, so too, you have to be Matbil the Kli Barbaim Sa. Okay, this is the Gemara. That from the Lashon Mei Nida we learn that the Kli has to be toiveled in Arbaim Sa'ah, in 40 Sa'ah. Says Tosfos in Dibur Maschal Mayim, Mayim Shenina Tovelas, Afagad Revi'e Sagi Lahatbel Machna Vetzinorios Midaraisa, Haino Tvilas Tuma, Havel Tvilas Klei Midjan Chidushu Uboi Mem Sa'ah. What's Tosfos saying? Afagav always means there's an underlining question in Tosfos. What's Tosfos saying? You can be tovel machtem v'tzinorios min haTorah that are tomei. You can be tovel them in a revius of mayim. You don't need mem sa'ov mei mikvah. It can't just be stam mayim. It has to be mayim in the karka. But you could be tovel even in a revius, much less than mem sa'ov. Mem sa'ov is quite a lot. Well, it's like 100, 150 gallons. It's a significant amount of water. But the halacha is min haTorah. You can be tovel kelim tomeim even in a revius of mei mikvah. So why suddenly is this halacha different? The halacha tefilas kelim different. Zok the Tosfos tefilas klei midyan is chidushu. It's a gzeras hakasav. It's a special din. It's a special din in the Torah. So memela you need mem sa'ah. Why does he need this? The pasuk says b'mei nida. So b'mei nida attributes it, or it equates tefilas kelim with tefilas nida. So of course it needs mem sa'ah. L'chora what Tosfos is saying is why did Bar Kapara see fit to learn from mei nida this special halacha that mayim shenida tovelas b'hem. Why did he say that? So apparently, it's some combination. The fact that the Torah says v'toher, so that already tells you there's exeris because of some special halacha that tefilas kelim is necessary. So Bar Kapara felt, once we know that tefilas kelim is necessary, and there's this chiddush, so that will explain why the Torah required mei nida, it required mem sa, even though normally, to be metaher kelim temeim, revius is sufficient. There's a problem here. We know normally Minat Torah claims Tosfos that Revius may make this enough to be Mitaher, Kalim Temeim. So why suddenly should Tefilas Kalim Kleakum be different? He says that's the whole point. There's Exeris HaKosov. Vitaher tells me there's Exeris HaKosov. This halacha is special. It's a special halacha. So once it's a special halacha, so then it breaks the rules. It breaks the rules. Then we can interpret Mei Nida to be telling me that you need Mem Sa'ah. Yes.
Can't this be a raya also that Tefilas Kelim is Doraisa according to Tosfos?
According to Tosfos, yes. But we don't even need this, Rabbi, because from the term Tosdo and Maskel E, we knew that Tfilas Kelim is deraisa, because Tosfos says, Lagabi Mashkanta, we should be machmer to be tovah without a bracha. It sounds like Sveidaras Lachumra. Yeah, absolutely. And then the next Tosfos also that we're going to see, Tosfos constantly says, Tfilas Kelim Chidushim. So it sounds like it's a Chidush of the Torah, it's a din deraisa. Yeah, that absolutely seems to be the position of Tosfos. The Ritva, in the Maskel Hava, quotes from the Ramban a slightly different Lashon. The Ramban gives a different reason why you should need Memsah. Not that Stam, it's a Chiddush. Tfilas Kelim is a Chiddush, don't ask me the Kasha, you know. Tosfos is basically saying, don't ask me the Kasha. You need Arba'im Sa'ah because Tfilas Kelim is a Chiddush, and it says Meinida in the Pasuk, so of course you need Arba'im Sa'ah. We're going to equate to Meinida, even though it's Tach Pilei Ploim. There are two types of Tevilos here. It's Tfilas Kelim in both cases. Tevilas Klei Akum and Tfilas Kelim Mituma, they're both Tfilas Kelim, so why should I distinguish between the two? For one, I need Meinida, I need Arba'im Sa'ah. For another, Revius is enough. Why should I distinguish? They're both Tfilas Kelim. Zog Tosfos, it's a Chiddush. Says the Ramban, no. Yeah, Tfilas Kelim is a Chiddush, but that's not the real reason why you need Memsah. There's a Svara, even though they're both Tfilas Kelim, but there are different types of Tevila. The Ramban says, just the line of the Ramban, but Tirates, the Shema Hocha Gezeras Melechi. Maybe here it's a Gezeras Hakosav, but what kind of a Gezeras Hakosav is it? Mishum Maila. It's a Maila. Sha'asah ketfilas ger. Says the Ramban, maybe Tfilas Kelim is different. Tfilas Klei Akum is different than Tfilas Kelim Mituma. Because maybe it's Exeras HaKosov, it's Exeras Melech, Exer of the Torah, Mishumayla Sha'asah ketfilas ger. The Torah made Tfilas Kelim like Tfilas ger. Just like a ger habolis gayer, a non-Jew wants to become a ger, he has to undergo Tvila. So too, the Kli, the Ramban seems to be saying, is undergoing some kind of a geiris. So maybe that's why it breaks the rules of Tevila. Normally, to be matbil a Kli, that's Tomei, Revius is enough. Revius, may mikveh is enough. But by Tevilas Kelim, Kleakum, I need Memsa. You know why? Because that's not just Tevilas Kelim. That's a Tevila of geiris. And we find another case of Tevilas geiris that's unrelated to Kelim. There's a Tevila that relates to a human being. That's a Tfilas Geiris. So don't tell me, well, it doesn't make much sense to distinguish between Tfilas Klei Akum as opposed to Tfilas Kelim Mituma. They're both Tfilas Kelim, and yet one, it's enough to be Tovel in a Revius, and the other one requires Memsa'ah. No, the Tfilah of Memsa'ah is not a regular Tfilas Kelim, says the Ramban. It's a Tfilas Geiris, and if it's a Tfilas Geiris, then it's similar to a Tfilas Geiris of a person. And all Tfilas of a human being, Tfilas Geiris, Tfilas Nida require Memsa'ah. So maybe that's why Tfilas Klei Akum require Memsa'ah, because it's like a Tfilas Geiris of the Kli. This idea of the Ramban seems to be hearkening back to the comment that the Ritva quotes in a different Dibur Maskil. The Ritva in the beginning of Dibur Maskil Gemara quotes from the Yerushalmi, and this is echoed by the Ran as well. Yerushalmi says, what's the purpose of Tfilas Kelim? L'fisha yotzu mitumasan shal nochem l'kdushas and shal Yisrael. The same lashon that the Yisuvah Heter had. Shach quotes from the Yisuvah Heter. It's Yerushalmi, basically. That the purpose of Tfilas Kelim is to take it out, take the Kli out of Tumas Akam, and to bring it into Kedushas Yisrael. Sounds like it's a Geiris. That's what the Ramban is saying. That's why you need Emsa'ah, because the Torah patterned the Tfilas Kelim after Tfilas Ger. Just like Tfilas Ger requires Memsa'ah, so the Tfilas Kelim is going to require Memsa'ah. Based on the logic of the Yerushalmi, what should emerge is that if we assume that Tfilas Kelim is like a Tfilas Geiris, so any time the Kli is owned by the non-Jew, and now it's going to be owned by a Jew, l'chora there should be a Chiyuv of Tfilas Kelim. That would clearly explain the Shach. The Shach wanted to explain the position of the Ramah, that if the non-Jew and the Jew are only a Kli b'shutvus, and then the Yisrael buys it, he buys out the portion of the non-Jew, it's Chayv and Tfilah. Why? Well, it makes perfect sense. It's nichnas into a full Kedushas Yisrael at that point. It still had Tumas Akam, but it's nichnas into a full Kedushas Yisrael, so obviously it's going to be Chayv and Tfilah. There's a very interesting discussion that some of the Achronim, some of the later Poskim have. What's the status of a Ger's Kelim? When a non-Jew becomes a Ger, does he have to be Tovel his Kelim? It comes up left and right, this Shaila. Whenever a non-Jew becomes a Ger, does he have to be Tovel his Kelim? So the Sefer Darkei Tshuva in Sukkot and Dalet quotes from the Sefer Chadrei Deo. I never heard of this Sefer before this. But the Darkei Tshuva collected from all over. So he quotes from the Sefer Chadra Deah that a ger habolis gayer has to be tovelis kelim. What's the difference? It's mamish the same idea. This kli didn't have a kedushas Yisrael. In fact, it had tumas akum before. It had tumas akum. Now it has kedushas Yisrael. So to be machnested into kedushas Yisrael, to give it kedushas Yisrael, to complete the gerus of the kli, so to speak, it needs tevila. That's what the Chadra Deah claimed. But other poskim are not so sure about this. The Sefer Chelkas Binyamin, I think we quoted the Chelkas Binyamin once, Rav Binyamin Cohen. The Sefer Chelkas Binyamin in Sif Aleph, in Simon Kuf Chav, he's not sure about this because he says maybe the only time that you chayv in tefillah is if you acquire a kli from a non-Jew. But let's say what really changed over here is not the ownership, but rather the gavra changed. What some of the Mefarshim call not chiluf rishus, but chiluf gavra. Interesting lumdish formulation. Chiluf gavra, a change of the individual. The ger changed. 2 minutes ago he was a non-Jew, now he's a Jew. He didn't sell the kalim to anyone. He certainly didn't buy the kalim. He changed. The ownership of the kli didn't change. So maybe we should say that that's not mechayev in tefilas kalim. Why not? The old principle. It always has to be dumya demaisa shahayim. It always has to be similar to the case of klei midyan. When Bnei Yisrael took hold of klei midyan, they did it in a certain way. It's exactly for that reason why that the Gemara says that you have to acquire the kli from the non-Jew. It's not enough just to borrow the kli from the non-Jew. Because Kemaisa Shahaya, when Bnei Yisrael got the kalim from Midyan, they acquired it from them. How did they acquire it from them? In the store? No. They acquired it Bekibush Mulchama. That's also a Kenyan. The Gemara in Gittin in the fourth paragraph describes that. Kibush Mulchama is like a Kenyan. It's like a Chazakah. It's like a Kenyan of some sort. So the only time a person is going to be chayav in tefillas kelim is if he acquires the kli from the non-Jew. So maybe this case of a ger, a non-Jew who's coming to become a ger, what's he really doing? He's really acquiring the kli from Hefker? Or maybe he's not acquiring the kli at all. He's just changing, but the ownership is not changing at all. So maybe there's no chayav in tefillas kelim. It's not clear. It's really not clear. The post can have a debate back and forth. The Sefer Tefillas Kelim I saw on page Kuf. I don't know if I signed this, but on page Kuf, Ha'ora Memvav, he quotes from the Avnei Nezer, who assume that a ger habolis gayer does not require tefillas kelim. So the best thing is, a person wants to be machmir. If the ger wants to be machmir, he should be tovel without a bracha. But it certainly should not be tovel with a bracha, because there are many poskim assume that there really is no chiyuv tevila in this case. Okay, but the whole discussion only begins because you assume, because we're assuming that the chiyuv tevila is because you're being megayer the kli, so to speak. You're being machnesed into kedushas Yisrael. So you would think that when the non-Jew becomes a ger, so now there's a full kedushas Yisrael, both on himself and the kelim. So maybe you should have to be told with the kelim. If you assume it's just a gzeres hakosav, that any time that you acquire a kli from a non-Jew, there's a chiyuv tefila, no one would say that there's an acquisition taking place here. The ger is not acquiring a kli from himself, so then the chora coined that svar, you should not have to be tovel. And certainly if you say that it has to be dumi the maisa shahaya, similar to the case in Parshas Matos, so then Lachara, there should be no chiyuv tefila. Yes, Danny.
When you kasher kelim just in general, do you need tefila afterwards?
No. If a Jew is kashering kelim from iser that was absorbed into his kelim, there is no chiyuv tefila. Now, having said that, I'll add, there are some shittos yachid, there are some rishonim who would say, amazingly enough, even in that case, there's a chiyuv tefila. But ruba of the rishonim don't say that, so just forget it.
Right,
okay.
Right.
The assumption is there's no chiyuv tefila only if you acquire the kli from a non-Jew.
Okay.
Let's go a little bit further. We know from the Mishnah that someone who acquires the kli from a non-Jew is a chiyuv of hechsher. He has to kasher the kli, but he also has to be tovel the kli. So the question is that seder ma'akev? Does he have to first be kasher the kli, or maybe he could be tovel the kli first? So that is a discussion that Rishonim have based on the Braisa that the Gemara quotes on the Afayin Hamad base. The Braisa is on the third wide line by the two dots. Tanu Rabbanu. Halokeach klei tashmish min ha'ovde kochavim. Devarim shalom nishtamish bohen madbilan behen tarin. You buy kelim from a non-Jew, so if you never use them, just be matbil them. Devarim shalom nishtamish bohen ha'yidei tzonen, gion kosos v'kitonios u'tzlochios. Let's say you use them in cold. Madichon madbilan behen tarin. So then you just wash them down and be matpil them. Dvarim shenishtarish bahen ayidei chamin. You use them in hot liquid. You go on hayoros, hakum kumusin, Umechame chamin, tea kettles and pots and pans and other things. Magilin madbilin mehintar. Then you do hagola. You have to put it into a boiling hot water. And finally, dvarim shenishtamish bahen al yedei ha'or. If you use the item in fire, go and shpudin ve'askelos, like spits and grills and other things. Malabdan madbilin mehintar. Then you have to do libun, and then you matbilin, you put them in the mikveh and the tar. So there are different. There are four different cases that the Braisa describes. One is that you use it, the kli was not used at all, it only requires tevila. The other three cases require some kind of a heksher. If it's used bitzonin, it doesn't require so much of a heksher, just hadacha, just have to wash it down. But there is a kind of a heksher to make sure there's no shamnunis ben, there's no oil that's on the surface. And certainly if you used it in chamin or you used it al yidei ha'or, then you require heksher, either hagala or libun. Is that seder ma'akev? Is the seder ma'akev? Do you have to do heksher first, or can you be matbel the kli first? This is not really no guess. So much lamaisa, we don't really buy too many kalim that are used. The used kalim exchange has closed many years ago. But some have pointed out that this might be lamaisa. Let's say someone becomes a bel tshuva, and he had kalim that he used, but isser. This is not quite the same as your case, Danny, because this is not a Jew who used the kalim, who was tovel the kalim when he first bought them from the non-Jew, then he used them be'isser, and now he wants to be machshir the kli. He did tefillah at some point in time. But if a person was not a shomer Torah mitzvahs, and he bought kalim from a non-Jew, it was chayv and tefillah, he never was tovel the kli to begin with. It's a different shayla. He was never tovel the kli to begin with, but now he used it be'isser, so... Now the question is, does he have to be machshir the kli before he does tefillah or not? So some have said this really is a shaila lemaisa based on this question. It's the same as this question, that if I buy used kli from a non-Jew, do I have to be machshir them before tefillah? That would be the same question as a bal tshuva who bought kli from a non-Jew. They really were chayv in tefillah, but he never was tovel them. But now he used the kli be'isser, then he becomes a bal tshuva. And the question is, does he have to be machshir the kli first, or can he be tovel them first? And it would really come up lemaisa if he found that he had to be tovel his dishes. He was tovel the dishes, and then he found that, oh no, he has to be machshir them too. So the question is, once he's machshir them, does he have to be tovel them again? Does he have to go back to the mikveh? I should point out, it's not really so clear. You look in the Sefer Chelkas Ben Yamin and in the Sefer Tevilas Kelin, they both quote a discussion on this. The Chelkas Ben Yamin is mistopic whether he requires a new Tevilas Kelin in that case. Is it really similar? Is it not similar? They both point to the idea that maybe this question as to whether the tevila has to take place after the heksher, that's only if the absorption of iser occurred b'shus akum, b'shus nochri. If it occurred when the kli was owned by the non-Jew, maybe that's the only time that the seder is actually ma'akev. But if the iser was absorbed into the kli when the Jew owned the kli, maybe the seder is not going to be ma'akev. So, the question might be lemaisa in the case of bal tshuva, and it might not be lemaisa. It's not clear. It's a debate in the poskim. Let's go back to the original discussion. The original discussion is, let's say I'm buying a kli that's used, buying a kli from the non-Jew and it's used. So I certainly have to be machshir in order to use it, but I have to be tovel it as well. Is there a chiyuv, is there an obligation to be machshir the kli first and then to be tovel it? Or let's say I'm tovel it first, I can't get the heksher, but I happen to be in a place where there's a mikveh. Can I be tovel it first and then I'll be machshir it later? So the Rosh quotes from the Rashbam, the Rosh in Siman Lamed Vav, quotes from the Rashbam that the Seder is absolutely ma'akev. Piresh Rashbam, Davka Magilan O Malavna Tchila. Abel Hitbil Tchila Habikatovo V'Sheretz Bi'Adam. The Rashbam says that you have to be Machshir the Kli first, because if you're going to be Tovel the Kli, it's like Tovel V'Sheretz Bi'Adam. He invokes this principle. Now let's say a person jumps into the mikveh, a person who's Tomei, he goes into the mikveh, but he's holding on to a dead Sheretz. If he's holding on to a live Sheretz, he's quite brave, But a live sheretz is not tameh, so it's not going to be tameh him either. But if he's holding on to a dead sheretz, so then he's not going to be tohar. The tefillah is not going to work. Either the tefillah never worked to begin with, or the tefillah worked, but then he becomes immediately tameh again because he's touching the sheretz, however you'll look at it. But the tefillah is not going to work. He's tovel v'sheretz biyado. So the Rashbam says the same is true. If a person is going to be tovel a kli akum before heksher, it's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. And the Ran and the Ritva quote this shita as well. And they're all medayak. They say, how do you know this? From the Braisa. The Braisa tells you, be magil and then do tefillah. Do libun and then do tefillah. So isn't it clear that the hechsher has to occur first? If the hechsher didn't have to occur first, maybe the Braisa should have switched it to show you that, you know, you could do the hechsher first, you could do the tefillah first. These are two totally disparate items, two totally distinct processes. They both have to be done. But the Seder is not absolutely ma'akev. It's not necessary to do them in any particular order. The fact that the Braisa didn't say it like that, the Braisa mentioned the hechsher, the kashering process before the tefillah, says the Rashbam, that indicates that if you were to do the tefillah before the hechsher, it would be tova v'sheretz biyado, the tefillah wouldn't even work. The Ran quotes a Ravid who offers a second sheet. The Ravid says he doesn't think it's ma'akev v'dieved, but lechatchila it's the proper thing to do. Lechatchila it's the proper thing to do. After all, that is what the Braisa says, but moreover, the Ravid says that's what the Pasuk says. If you medayek in the Lashon of the Pasuk, it says, Kol davar sheyava ba'esh, tavir ba'esh v'toher. So, tavir ba'esh, that's the Hechsher, and then it says v'toher. After that, it sounds from the Pasuk that the Hechsher should occur first. So, mitzvah l'kayim pshuto shel mikra, the Ravid assumes, l'chatchila, to follow what the Torah is saying, since the pshuto shel mikra implies that the Hechsher should take place first, l'chatchila, the Hechsher should take place first. But b'dieved, would the Ravid say that it's going to be ma'akev if you reverse the order? No. No. Komtosis and the Rosh, they go even further. They say even lechatchila, you can reverse the order, it doesn't matter. Do what you want. Whichever one you want to do first, you can do. Whichever one you want. The two totally different things, Tosis and the Rosh says. Two totally different actions that you have to do. There's an action of Hechsher, and there's an action of Tefillah, and never the twain shall meet. Before you can use this kli, you must do both. If you don't do the Hechsher, it will even prohibit the meichel that you cook in the kli. If you don't do tefillah, b'dieved, the ochel is not going to be treif, it's not going to be non-kosher, it won't be rendered aser, as we described, but you have to do tefillah, it's aser to use the kli before you do tefillah. Say Tosus and the Rosh, not only is it not ma'akev b'dieved, if I do the tefillah before the hechsher, but even lechatchila, I don't have to do the hechsher first. I could do the tefillah first. What does it matter? What is the tefillah accomplishing? It's xeras hakasav. You're acquiring kelim from the non-Jew. You gotta be tovel them. You don't want to aser any food that you're gonna cook in the kelim. You have to kasher the kli. Two totally different stages. Totally different processes. So therefore, toes in the rush hold. Even lechatchila, you can do the tefillah first. The klal of tovel v'sheretz biyado might apply to tefillah mituma. But it's not going to apply over here because this is a Gzeras HaKasav. This Tzvila claim Tosis in the Rosh is not a Tzvila Mituma. It's a special Gzeras HaKasav, and therefore, even if I do the Tzvila first, there's no problem, b'dieved. Not only that, but even l'chatchila, I could do the Tzvila first. So the question that we'll have to address tomorrow is, why does Tovel v'Sheretz B'Yado not play a role according to the Rosh and Tosis? Why were they not bothered with the Rashbam's Svar? At first glance, the Svar of the Rashbam seems logical. Just like Tovel v'Sheretz B'Yado, the tefillah doesn't work, so too. If someone is matbo the kli, but the kli has iser in it, he wasn't machshir the kli, so how can the tefillah work? So Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow, we'll have to discuss what exactly is the machloka. Should we assume that Tovel v'Sheretz B'Yado does apply in this case, or should we assume that Tovel v'Sheretz B'Yado does not apply?